Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get accused lately of actually having a sway towards league. Maybe we do if you're listening in, if you're a rugby supporter. But I keep saying that, you know, if rugby presented itself to us, we'd present it to you. There's that, but there's also these opportunities where perhaps they just might miss the boat a wee bit. And I think tomorrow is a classic example of that. I'd sit down, absolutely sit down. Tomorrow and watch after the Warriors had played, say, at 6:30 or 7 o'clock, a lovely 7 o'clock game of rugby, an Anzac clash, whether it be Crusaders or Rebels, Hurricanes, Brumbies, that would have been a beauty, Blues, Reds, they're all on, Highlanders, Force. But what about on Anzac Day itself? Is that a marketing opportunity or a window that perhaps has just disappeared on them again, because they have pretty much a full round this weekend, and you know the fact of the matter is they're just missing out a wee bit on a golden opportunity. The Chiefs playing the Waratahs, so there you go. There are five genuine Trans-Tasman clashes, but not one of them on Anzac Day. Joey's there from Auckland. G'day, Joey. Good morning to you. Anzac Day, pretty special on my calendar anyway. I'm slightly older than most involved in this, but to be perfectly honest, I've got a personal involvement with my father, but it's a special day, and I just thought they might have missed a wee bit there.
Without a doubt, Smithy, I'm up there with you. I'm around your age as well. Look, the rugby are missing out, you know. You did right. They play the Warriors at 4 o'clock and they could have a game at 7 o'clock, and I'd sit down and watch that too. You know, but this is where it comes down to, Ian, the CEO, you know, Mark Robinson. You know, he was poor with the way he dealt with the last All Black coach. You know, he doesn't come out. He's a dinosaur. He won't come out and say anything if anything goes wrong. And this is where they want to be promoting the rugby end. And look, what Dino said yesterday about when he texted you and said about an Auckland that league could be taken over. I'm in Auckland. I'm an Aucklander. I've been in Auckland all my life. And that could well be coming to fruition, you know. And it's sad because, you know, I like both sports. You know me, I ring up all the time. I love all sports. And I would love to see a rugby game on Anzac Day, without a doubt. It's a no-brainer, and it's not hard to do. It's not hard to get it sorted out. You just change from Friday, one game from Friday night to Thursday. How hard is that? I just can't work them out, Smithy. I think it's poor.
For me, there's a number of issues that come to play here. One, I think it's an easy thing to do. Two, there's five clashes between Australia and New Zealand sides. That's an Anzac celebration in itself. But what it does, and it'll be reflected, I'll bet your bottom dollar, when they do it at the Warriors game, it'll be reflected in a really poignant way. There'll be the last post, there'll be all those sorts of things that are associated with remembrance and not forgetting, Joey. And what that does First of all, it shows a mark of respect. It shows a mark of respect, and it highlights what the day is all about, even though it's at a sporting event. But what it is, it's a collection of people at a sporting event who then have the opportunity very publicly to pay their respects, one, and educate people as well. Educate the youth, the youngsters of today. You know, what are they doing this for on this day? What's it all about, Mum and Dad? Tell us a wee bit about it. And that is just a continuation of the respect of the day. And, you know, look, I just think it's just such a plus on a, from a number of avenues on, and it's, to me, it's all about a tribute, respect, and more opportunity for people en masse at a sports game to be able to appreciate that. That's the way I see it, Joey, and you and I are exactly on the same wavelength there. What about Cliff from Palmerston? Cliff, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Smitty. Look, I've always wondered why rugby doesn't take enough advantage of a Thursday night or a Friday night, I mean, a Monday night game, and especially when there's holidays fall. Like at Easter time, Thursday night would be a perfect night before Good Friday holiday to put a game on a Thursday night, but they never do. And I think it all comes back to the Players Association. Too much power to dictate that the guys can't front up maybe 5 or 6 days after. They have to have a full week between and you know, being one day earlier. It's too much for the travel and to expect them to play. But at Easter time, you know, they end up with fewer games. So I think at Easter, they actually only had 4 games instead of 6. And then they could have, you know, I think, well, why don't you play a Thursday night game? Everybody's finished for the week, and it would have been a perfect night to have had an extra game on. No, let's just stay the way it is. Don't put any pressure. The Players Association might growl at us. You know, they seem to have the big stick when it comes to decisions made for rugby, the Players Association.
No doubt. Absolutely no doubt. A lot of the argument will be about turnover time and playing 2 games too close together. There is merit in that, I suppose. But they're losing track of the fact that, I'm sorry, that you're going to have to bite the bullet at certain stages. I'm not saying do it all the time, but what I'm saying is here's a golden opportunity for your code to respect as well and educate the youngsters involved in your code about what an Anzac Day is all about. I mean, the draw is absolutely fantastic. You know, the fact that all the games involved Australia against New Zealand, and they'll stand side by side at the start of those games, just like they did in the various battles overseas. And there's a little bit of some symbolism about that. But I'm a little bit loath to continue bashing rugby, but here's one I think is quite a genuine one that you can ask a question on, at least. So thank you very much, Cliff, and I get your point of view. Absolutely get your point of view there. Bruce, good morning to you.
G'day, mate. I rang you before about bashing on about this league versus rugby thing. But anyway, there's a couple of things. Like, first of all, just touch on your how you went on about the NRLW. And yep. I don't actually think that the two are in competition with each other. It's right. Different in the guys' game, but in the women's game, you could quite easily play both, and there are women that do that.
Yes.
Like, to me, it's a media beat-up. Like, when those black, the Sevens girls went and played league, it's only for a season, and then they're back playing Sevens. And you don't get a big media story about them, like, going back from rugby league to rugby. It's always a media beat-up because they're going from rugby to rugby league. And, like, the same as, like, Viacolo, who she was an ex-league player, and she's playing rugby. But you don't get media beat up about, oh, you know, that rugby's taking league Stalin. It's just a big media beat up, mate.
What do you think that is? Do you think as a collective that the media have had enough of rugby, or do you think there's special vendettas?
Well, I just think, well, there just seems to be an obsession with it. And, like, I just, like, for instance, the thing is there's a large part of, there's a large proportion of rugby players that are position-specific that actually wouldn't be attractive to rugby league, you know, because they play in certain positions. So you're only talking about a small group of players that potentially can play successfully both codes.
Yep. I think you're spot on. Yeah, it is. You're right. But they will be picked. They will be earmarked. They will be picked. And it'll be interesting to see at some point in the future when the seasons become more substantial for women's rugby and women's league, how much cross-coding there is and how much to and froing there is in that regard during one particular season, or whether they stay put and are contracted to do that. 9:45, Des is on the line. We'll be back to Des very shortly. It is 9:50 and a very patient Des is still waiting on the line for us. Des, good morning to you and thank you.
Good to listen into some of the calls this morning. I think one of the key things I've done is over the past few years, it's actually become really hard to be a rugby fan. So even amongst, you know, my own mates, we played rugby since we were five and, you know, played premier rugby, like went right through the grades. And it's actually just a really hard watch. And I think the comparisons between rugby and league, it just have become more evident, I think, in the probably the last 12 months, given the success of the Warriors. And, you know, I've been a long supporter, fan of the notion, like, for rugby to win or for league to win, rugby doesn't need to lose, if that makes sense. But if you just look at the two competitions, like, league, just get it. You know, it's fan-centric. The fan is put forward first. Every game matters, you know, and, you know, amongst our own friend group, you know, we haven't really watched a whole bunch of super rugby this season. I see some of the commentary saying there's been really good games, and that's great, you know, but, you know, when I've flicked it over, it's just been kind of stoppage after stoppage, and I think just the ball and play is the real attraction, I think, to watching NRL. I think, you know, the actual on-field experience is far more compelling. There's a real contest there, and I think also going back to my point around every game matters. I mean, the irony is the Crusaders have had such a poor season, but they could win two of their next five games and still make playoffs. Like, that, you know, that's crazy. A top eight final system for a 12 team competition. Like, those are just that's just one example. I think where kind of rugby sort of gets it wrong. I guess my point here, like, it's no surprise really that we've got a triple header in the NRL and there's no games tomorrow in Super Rugby.
Yeah, look, you've nailed it. And, you know, you're a very common caller in terms of someone who has been devout, who is, you know, devout rugby union player, and, you know, still want to love rugby union. But you want to be given the opportunity to love rugby union. You want to see rugby union be more encompassing for the people that have supported it over the years, and try and encourage people to come and be involved. But honestly, there's no competition. There's absolutely no competition at the moment. I mean, who's going to be even giving rugby union the slightest thought tomorrow, when there's going to be three games of rugby league, including the Warriors, who have a very important clash on all over the joint? I mean, they've got no chance unless are they just conceded in that regard. It's 9:54.